Did you know that the average person spends 6 months of their lifetime waiting on a red light to turn green? We've got lots of crazy facts and more coming up.
We got lots of info, let's rock and roll, it's Did You Know with Rhino.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Rhino. I'm Rhino, this is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking. It's more like 7 months if you're in Orlando, or 8 months if you're ever in a car with me. In today's episode, we're going to have lots of fun, and you might even learn something. So without further ado, let's do this. You know, in this show, we talk about all sorts of crazy stuff and randomness, but we don't do it alone. So today, we'll be crazy with a special guest. The specialist of guests, ladies and gentlemen, my wife, Rachel Lowe.
Good evening.
So how are you doing today?
I am doing excellent.
Did anything crazy happen to you today?
No, I got out of work on time.
Whoa, that's a thing.
That is very special.
That's kind of awesome. Especially when like craziness happens and people get deliveries and all sorts of fun stuff.
I swear people know exactly when people at work get off because then they come in at that time or like just a minute or two before. So you have that brief moment of like, I'm going to make it. I'm free in just 2 minutes. And then you hear the door ring or someone walk in or the phone rings. Yeah. So when you can get out on work on time, it's a blessing.
Is that like universal karma or just like people being rude just to be rude?
I don't know. I think it might be not karma, but I think it's like a universal draw of everyone's energy together, maybe.
Ooh, sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I had a really awkward moment today.
Okay.
I was driving home from work, and sometimes because it's Central Florida, there are a lot of people on the side of the road that are like begging for money and food and whatnot.
Absolutely. I talked about this exact thing at work today, too.
Well, today I was close enough and I still had food left over in my lunchbox and a sign said like hungry, need money for food. And I was like, okay. So I opened up my lunchbox, rolled down the window and he kind of came over. I said, you want a peanut butter cracker? And he was like, no. I was like, okay. How about a little fruit snack? He's like, no. And I'm like, all right, have a good day. Rolled up the window.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you kind of have your suspicions of what, if you give them cash, are they actually going to go buy food or something that you wouldn't really approve of? Or, I mean, in that case, peanut butter crackers, they could have an allergy.
And they could. So that's what I was like, okay, what about my fruit snack?
Yes.
How are you going to have an allergy to fruit snacks?
Fruit snacks aren't exactly filling. I mean, it might make you hungrier. I mean, you know how, like, when you eat, like, a little something, when you're really hungry and you almost feel hungrier afterwards, that could be something.
But he could have held on to it and done something
with
it.
Maybe he's diabetic and he can't eat fruit and sugar like that. I don't know.
Well, beggars can't be choosers.
I sometimes. But it was very nice of you to try.
That's more than I normally do with those scam artists on the side of the
road. They are scam artists, aren't they?
Like, I had one guy who... he asked for $14 to complete the sale for a new tire for his car.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, no. And I was like, okay. 6 months later, same guy shows up and I'm in a different parking lot. Same story. 6 months later, same guy.
Three years later,
same guy. It's not fun.
And you told him to get a new story, dude.
Pretty much. Yeah. Cause he needs either new material or the $14, and then we record him and say, don't give this guy $14 ever again and post pictures everywhere.
Yeah, that could be.
It's a thing. Speaking of disappointing things, this weekend you and I went somewhere.
SeaWorld.
Yeah, it was an experience. Normally we have amazing times there.
Yep.
This time they were having their spooktacular. It's the last weekend for their Halloween event. And their website advertised it was going to happen around 6 in the evening.
Unless it didn't. But, oh well, it didn't happen exactly.
It instead happened at 11 o'clock during the day, and there was trick-or-treating and character meet and greets and stuff. Of course, we're probably too old for it, but it still would have been nice to see it during its hustle and bustle.
In action.
Yeah. And then when we finally got to their area around 6-ish, they were like, okay, we're out of candy. See ya. And like everything was shutting down.
Yeah. That was a disappointment. And you got stuck on a roller coaster. That wasn't fun.
Yeah. That's a horse of a different color. Well, we'll talk about that on a future episode. It's ridiculous.
I did get to spend like 20 minutes petting stingrays, though.
And stingrays are your favorite.
Yes.
So that's pretty awesome.
Second favorite animal.
Second favorite animal, period.
Yes, but at SeaWorld, they are my favorite.
So you like cheetahs and stingrays.
Yes.
Right on. And so that's something that y'all can learn about the lovely Rachel. Cheetahs and stingrays.
Oh, and what else do I love?
Me?
Well, yes, but horses and kitty cats.
Oh, yes, right. Horses and cats in probably that order.
Probably.
And then Ryan.
And then Ryan.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing. Animal of them all.
I am pretty wild, that's for sure. Speaking of things that aren't as wild is Ryan O. and the Mailbox of Doom, where we go deep into the mailboxes and attempt to discover answers to all sorts of weird and intriguing questions that may exist. For example, on the Book of Faces, also known as Facebook, which the page is Did You Know with Ryan O., I had asked everybody what their favorite werewolf is. Do you have a favorite werewolf?
That is tough, because I can probably name three werewolves. And I'm thinking of Van Helsing, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I guess there's Vampire Diaries. And Werewolves in London. There's also the werewolf, the original werewolf, Lon Chaney.
He's pretty awesome.
I would probably actually say that Lon Chaney is my favorite werewolf because he's the original. I think for the time, the makeup and effects of his transformation were amazing. So I think, yeah, he's my favorite werewolf, the original.
That's pretty awesome. My own personal favorite, I would say, is Oz.
Oz, yep.
Mm-hmm. Oz from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We asked online, and some people said that Warren Zevon is someone's favorite. He's the guy who wrote Werewolves in London.
Ah.
And so he's telling a story probably about his own take of when he was a werewolf.
Okay.
Lupin? From Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. He is. And I guess there's also Underworld, too, where you have, what was it? Is Lucius a werewolf? Or no, he's a vampire. But anyway, you have the werewolves in Underworld, which are pretty scary looking. They're very big and muscular.
And someone else said Amos Calloway. I can assume he's from the Big Fish. Danny DeVito from Big Fish, the movie with Ewan McGregor.
It's been a really long time since I've seen that movie. I honestly would never have remembered that there was a werewolf in that film.
Neither did I. But that's all the answers we got on the Book of Faces. Always make sure that you're following the Facebook group, Did You Know with Ryan O, so you can get up to date with all sorts of cool trivia things we got going on. Sometimes we do it on Twitter, too, at Did You Know Ryan O. And, of course, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can always email us at didyouknowryano@gmail.com. But speaking of other wordly things and craziness, let's go into the word of the week, which is always ironic because this happens every other week. Anyways, what I'm going to do, Rachel, is I'm going to tell you a word, and you're going to tell me what it means and where it originated, okay?
Okay.
So the word of the week this week is anarchy.
Okay.
What do you think it means?
That's a really tough one because when I first heard the word anarchy, I think my mind went to the word hierarchy, which is definitely not the same thing.
It is not the same thing.
I feel really dumb right now because I'm blanking on what anarchy is. Isn't it kind of like, could be chaos or chaotic?
It is chaos, but what particular type of chaos?
Controlled chaos.
Which sort of, like, group of people or or organization or something.
So I guess I was maybe on the right track with hierarchy, with like people that rule or government or
there you
royals
go.
Or whatever.
Anarchy is the absence of government or lack of leader.
Okay.
So where do you think it originally derived from?
I don't know. Maybe like German?
I'll give you a hint. It's pretty ancient.
Greek?
Yes, indeed. In Athens, it was used in the year of 30 tyrants in 404 BC when there was no archon or as they used it, anakros, which is without leader. That was their fancy term for it.
Okay.
Also, it could come from the medieval Latin anarchia. I probably spelt that or pronounced that wrong. Greek anarchia. That's probably wrong too. And French anarchy. So, yeah.
Awesome.
So that's where it comes from.
Learn something new.
It's pretty awesome. Speaking of learning things that are new, let's talk about things that are laws that probably shouldn't. And I can't believe that's a law. The law itself is a pickle cannot be sold unless it bounces. In what state would you think that's a law? By the way, it's stupid.
I'm
going to give my commentary on that one.
I feel like I've heard this law before, but I honestly couldn't even remember what state that is. So I'm going to give the biggest, widest guess ever and say Kentucky.
It's a little bit further north and a little bit further east. It's in Connecticut.
Well, Connecticut, you got some silly laws.
According to an article in 1948, the law became a necessity after two scheming pickle packers, that's hard to say, two scheming pickle packers tried to sell pickles that were unfit for human consumption, they said. The Connecticut Food and Drug Commission at the time proclaimed that a real pickle should bounce when dropped from the height of 1 foot, according to the new state regulation. So if it was 1 foot high and it didn't bounce, I guess you couldn't sell it.
What I want to know is, what does an unfit pickle look like? Like, were they making it out of carrots or like, I don't even want to know.
Would that be a cucumber?
I mean, cucumbers, yes, make pickles, yes. But I mean, why was it unfit is what I'm questioning.
Is it rotten?
Is it rotten so it just like splat? Or is it like a rock hard something that it just like clunks on the ground?
Or maybe it was some weird doctor that turned himself into a pickle.
Also, like, are you putting your pickle in like an encasing so you can drop it on the ground and then you can sell it and then someone can eat it? Or is it like, oh, there's your pickle, it's on the ground and it bounced, so you can buy it from me now. It's dirty.
Yeah, who's buying dirty pickles
therefore
that have fallen on the ground?
Therefore, unfit for human consumption.
That's what I'd be more worried about. Not the fact that it doesn't bounce, but the fact that it's on the ground.
3 second rule.
Is that where the 5 second rule is invented?
Maybe.
The 5 second rule was invented in the 1940s.
Because my pickle bounces.
And then if it bounces and then rolls, it becomes a 10 second rule.
Oh, or is that a 10 second roll? Oh.
Oh, nice. That was awesome and terrible at the same time. I'm so proud of you. As we're rolling along, let's talk about things that happen in... They're so random, so crazy and ridiculous that they could only happen in the swamp land known as Florida, only in Florida. I was looking through some articles about stuff that had happened last year, and I found something particularly awkward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
In Florida. Apparently, a man runs naked through a woman's home only to stop and try on her clothes. That's just ridiculous just by the title alone.
Yeah, that is weird. He must have had to have been on drugs or something. Because what right-minded person goes to someone else's house that they never don't know, is naked, and wants to try on her clothes? The opposite sex clothes.
It happened in New Smyrna, and maybe some things aren't right with people over there. No offense to most people over there, because it is Florida.
Hey.
We're all a bit crazy.
Well, we're weird.
Apparently, an 82-year-old woman whose house it was, she found a guy in his birthday suit breaking into her garage. Then she called 911, went to her son-in-law's house, which is next door, and then spent the rest of the morning watching him run in and out of the house, sometimes naked and sometimes dressed in her clothing. Then afterwards, he was arrested.
That's disturbing. I wonder if he was arrested in his birthday suit or if he kept one of the outfits during his arrest.
If I were her, I'd be like, what did he touch? Burn it.
Yeah, I'd probably at least wash it and then maybe don't eat it. But I'd probably be too disturbed to try any of that on.
And I want to know, like, what type of clothes was he trying on? Were they dresses, random shirts, blouses?
Who knows?
I don't know. If you're out there, random dude, Joe, I guess your name is, let us know what you tried on. That'd be a really interesting thing to find out.
That's going to be awkward. Okay.
It's going to be rather awkward. You're right. So let's talk about what we've been watching lately. And the answer is, are you being served?
Yes. Yes, we are watching Are You Being Served?
Tell the people about Are You Being Served.
So Are You Being Served is a show from, I think, the 70s. And it's from the UK. And a group of people that work at a clothing store, and there's the women's counter and the men's counter, and mostly it's day-to-day little events or happenings that go on there, and the challenges of a hierarchy, and it is hilarious because they make it dirty sometimes without actually making it dirty, and they have little dry humor jokes. So if you love UK shows and their humor, and I think even if you liked The Office, if you don't mind some, you know, older type of style of a show, you would love this one. And you can find it on YouTube, I think.
Yeah, I've been streaming every episode on YouTube because I've been allegedly doing that in case the government's listening, because someone had allegedly put it on there in order for people to watch, so that's allegedly a thing, but it's lots of fun. Some of the jokes are ridiculous. They're kind of about like social classes and
play on words.
Yeah, a lot of the puns are fantastic.
Yes, yes, it is.
It definitely feels like the late 70s, early 80s, but it's a good time. I recommend it if you can get your hands on Are You Being Served. There's also a movie that took place after season 5 that you should check out as well.
Yeah, that was pretty good. The TV show, I think, is better than the movie, but most things are sometimes.
Yeah, when you have a whole bunch of seasons and then make a movie, it can't always be good, like Serenity.
Yeah. Of course, you only had 13 episodes and then a movie, so.
That's true. I'm still hurt.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Especially since there's like, you know, Sharknado 4 or...
5?
5, whatever. And then there's like multiple seasons of like The Real World. Or, I'm sorry, Supernatural. There's too many seasons of Supernatural. It's like season 15 or something like that. So, share the wealth there. There should have been at least 3 seasons of, you know, Firefly.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. 3 seasons of Firefly plus the movie? Yeah.
I want more Firefly.
Yeah, don't we all?
But, since we can't have more Firefly at the moment, let's talk about our Did You Know Fact of the Week. So do you know what the brain is a whole bunch of synapses. It's a whole bunch of, all the brain tissues are connected by different synapses. And that's what makes everything connect together, all the information moving about, right?
Right.
So it's estimated that a map of all of the synaptic connections within just a cubic millimeter, that's really small, mm-hmm. of a human brain could fill a petabyte of storage. A petabyte is a million gigabytes.
Wow.
So that's enough information to have 13 years of HD TV content, probably HD TV HGTV, HDTV sort of stuff. HD, HGTV, if I were to be more correct. Or 58,000 movies or 20 million four-drawer filing cabinets full of text, depending on what sort of information you're going for. That's a lot.
That makes us sound really smart, when in fact, I feel like we're not using that much of our brain to store that much information slash recall that information.
But there's a lot there, like in order to get stuff moving by itself, to get your cells moving, all information pushing, like telling your heart to go. And
True. We have to, like, we're automatically telling our body to pump the heart, to breathe in the lungs, to listen to our surroundings, to, you know, use our eyes and our sense of smell all of the time. No wonder we're always so tired.
It reminds me of an episode of Doctor Who involving Madame de Pompadour. If you've seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Otherwise, I recommend people check out Girl in the Fireplace without giving too many spoilers. Anyways, so let's move on after a word from our sponsors.
Did you know with Rhino?
This episode has been brought to you by Everyday Cosplay Finds. Ever wanted to show off your favorite character or group of characters, but don't see things online that match your style? Then check out Everyday Cosplay Finds, bringing cosplay into your everyday. Go to Etsy.com/shop/everydaycosplayfinds for more information. And now back to our show.
Did you know with Rhino?
All right, so this episode, when it comes out, will most likely come out the 6th of November, which is the day after the 5th of November, which is important for many reasons. Which one do you know about?
The most important one, our wedding anniversary.
That is true. That is the most important thing about that date. It was, our wedding was awesome.
Yeah.
It happened in a Floridian English countryside.
Yes, sure.
Mm-hmm. That's what the course was based off of.
Yes, it was. It was like an English golf course style. And even some of our pictures, people couldn't believe that we got married in Florida.
Because of just how green and fun and awesome it looked. It was pretty cool.
Yes.
And we had some awesome people there.
Yes, we did.
And some ridiculous people there, too.
Amazing people.
That's true. We even danced.
We did. We did dance.
Many times.
Yeah, once or twice.
Food was good.
Yes, it was.
So was cake. There was cake.
Cake was delicious.
We had our cake and ate it, too.
Yep.
Mm, it was good times.
It's probably the only thing I ate.
Yeah. So this is information for you people who are engaged or going to be married or whatnot. On your actual wedding day, you have to have someone remind you to eat, because so much is going on. You need to take a second for you, for like your body, so it doesn't crash.
Yeah, I think more like definitely try to eat before the wedding, because I think for me, during the reception, the whole amount of emotions of the day came rushing in, and when dinner came around, when we were supposed to sit down and eat, I was not hungry at all, and that was fun.
Yeah.
Still had a great time. Still ate my cake, or at least a couple bites, but yeah, I didn't enjoy the meal during the reception.
So what advice do you have for individuals out there who are currently planning their weddings?
Keep it simple. Mostly because that's going to be way easier on you, especially if you're doing most of the work. And I'd say invite people that you want to have there. I mean, if you want that person there, invite them. If you don't, don't. It's your wedding. It's your day. You get to share it with whoever you want. And just be sure to rein in the extravagance, because it is just one day that you're paying for. I think, looking back, I probably wish we had kept it even smaller so that we'd have more money to spend on our future. But, yeah, just keep that in mind. It's just a day. It's a wonderful day, one of probably the best in your life. But, again, it is just a day, and it's about you two together.
I liked it because it was about us. That was my favorite thing about the day.
Yeah, everyone was celebrating us.
At the end of the day, you became Mrs. Me.
I did.
Yep.
That's what it says on my license, Mrs. Me.
It does say Mrs. Me. And mine says Mr. You. That's a thing. We're dorks. It's awesome.
But November the 5th is also like one of our favorite cult holidays, I guess, would you say? It was a cult holiday-ish?
It evolved into it.
And also, that's not exactly the reason we chose the date, but that may have been a small reason, because, I mean, now you can't ever forget our wedding anniversary.
I could, because of the rhyme, remember, remember, the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot.
Yep.
Which, so, it all stems around the late 1500s, early 1600s, when King James, he was a Protestant king, and a lot of people weren't happy about that, and they wanted to change that and have the Catholics in power again.
Okay.
So they were going to blow up Parliament in order to enact change. So there were several people who were in charge of making things happen, but it was supposed to happen earlier that year. They couldn't get all the material they needed to successfully blow things up with like gunpowder and whatnot.
So a shortage.
So they had to push back until November to make it happen. And there were several people there, and it was going to happen on the evening. And they had warned some of the Catholics who were in Parliament to not be there that day. Just kind of like they thought it was a hoax, like, hey, keep this on the DL, but you shouldn't be here. And so they're like, okay, cool. Let's not go there. But apparently the king found out about it.
You know, kings are all knowing or should be.
As you do. You know. And eventually they only found Guy Fawkes there at the scene with all of the with all the gunpowder ready to go and rock and roll and cause stuff. So it's the day has many different connotations to it. The government actually allowed it as a day for people to remember how the government prevails. It was an act of parliament designated that each November 5th is a day of thanksgiving for the joyful day of deliverance and remained in force until 1859. Even though he's only one of 13 conspirators, Fawkes was like the person who was most associated with the plot.
So he was made into like the ultimate fall person, the ultimate martyr or something.
But other people have taken that name that day to call it Guy Fawkes Night or Guy Fawkes Day or Plot Night, Bonfire Night. And what they do is they have bonfires with fireworks from like 1650s onward, and it became accustomed to burn an effigy, normally the Pope or someone in the public's eye that became targets, like Margaret Thatcher and a couple of other people, just kind of a representation of monarchy and how it isn't always going to be there, or power or government, how it's not always up to them, but giving it back to the people.
Okay.
So it became a symbol, and his name wasn't officially Guy. It was Guido.
Guido.
Yeah, but Guy, or quote unquote, came to mean an oddly dressed person. That's kind of what the connotation became.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys right now.
Yeah, you're looking at one too. But it was, so that was the main aspect of it. And because of how history likes to see things, people see him, Guido Fawkes, Guy Fawkes, as the main hero of the story for trying to overthrow the government back in the 1600s.
Yeah, he's been kind of idolized maybe more than he should, technically.
Especially with some of his features. Like, so people have been wearing masks to kind of symbolize what he stood for. And it's a grayish or brownish reddish beard. More like a light mustache and a light chin beard, and the white face kind of symbolizes him. And they took all this imagery into the comic book known as V for Vendetta, mm-hmm. which they adapted into a movie starring, what's his face? Agent Smith. He's a.
It stars Natalie Portman and
Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving.
There we go.
And there's, I think, some other people there too. Oh, I can't remember.
Who's Isn't Stephen Fry in it?
Who's the chancellor? Stephen Fry is in it.
Oh, John Hurt.
John Hurt is the grand supreme chancellor.
Yes. Yes. And so
John Hurt is scary.
The movie itself is about an individual who's trying to help overthrow the parliament because the government has become extreme, too extreme, and there's curfews and people are afraid of their government, but they say that people shouldn't be afraid of their government. The government should be afraid of its people. Yeah. So in order to try to change things, he actually blows up one of the buildings on the 5th of November.
He blows up Parliament, or he blows up that big statue, and I can't remember what it's called. But yeah, pretty much everyone in the society there, they're being very tightly controlled by the government. Their freedom is taken away. If you're different, you're seen as being, well, very different, and you're removed from society. They basically show you.
Yeah, they're the men who just take you away and you're never seen or heard from again.
Yes.
Which is where Natalie Portman's character goes into play because she ends up hanging out with the title character, V, and he tries to kind of recruit her into his, what would you call it? His group.
His plot.
Yeah.
I would say his plot. I like He's not working with anyone.
So without giving too many spoilers into it, the fighting is pretty cool. It's dark. It's gritty.
I think the music's story great. Is good and the message is really good too for it.
The comic's fun too. It's a different story, but it's very similar. Yeah.
It's about like personal freedom and freedom in your government and not being controlled by your government or suppressed by your government. So I think it's a good film. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
When I was in college, which is when the movie came out, we tried to watch it. And by we, I mean people who were also guests of this podcast, mostly John. And we were trying to watch the movie like every year around or on that day, just kind of as like our own tradition.
Yep.
To remember that the government should be afraid of its people because we're pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Especially me. I'm kind of a weirdo.
The people should check their government. I mean.
And that's us trying to not get too political on this show.
Yeah, no. Politics are not fun.
Definitely not. Try to avoid it if we can, especially here on this platform of podcastingness.
So what do they do to celebrate Guy Fawkes Day today, or do they not celebrate it?
I didn't go definitely into the modern aspects of it, but it's some people observe it, but since it's not a official traditional holiday, I guess it's going against the man, but I don't know. If you're in England, let us know. You can email us at didyouknowryano@gmail.com. Let us know how you celebrate Guy Fawkes Day or Plot Day or whatever you want to call it.
Or if you're not in England, how do you celebrate it and how do you celebrate Guy Fawkes Day?
Normally, I celebrate it by taking a beautiful woman out to dinner.
Yes.
Yep, because she deserves being fed good food on our wedding day.
Anniversary. Ooh, our wedding day. We have a wedding day every single year. It's so much fun and inexpensive.
Yeah.
We also do like to watch V for Vendetta around this time, too.
Well, because it's a great movie.
Yes, it is.
Well, like you watch... Like, I've watched 30-something horror films in the past 2 months because it was horror season. And then there aren't that many Thanksgiving movies, even though one could make the joke that The Nightmare Before Christmas is, in essence, a Thanksgiving movie.
Oh, no, it is not. Of course, I'm not a fan of Nightmare Before Christmas, and I'm sure people are gasping right now. But I think the Hallmark Channel has lots of Thanksgiving movies.
But there aren't too many famous Thanksgiving movies, but we'll talk about some of them in a later episode.
Miracle on 31st Street starts out on Thanksgiving.
Starts out on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
We'll talk about a bunch of more films in a future episode coming up in a couple of episodes about awesome Thanksgivingness.
I think also people should write in on when they think it's appropriate to start celebrating Christmas or ending the holidays.
There we go. So because we live in Central Florida, all the theme parks have been celebrating Halloween since the end of August, beginning of September. That's when I've always started celebrating it because they have their 2 months of stuff and they get people in for their ticketed events in order to make money. But all the decorations and stuff are normally sold the first, or starting being sold the first or second week of September, and continue to get sold until about the week before Halloween itself. And then the beginning of November, Christmas decorations are normally starting to be sold. At Disney, it's whenever they run out of Halloween stuff to sell. They start selling their Christmas stuff early. And then they're probably sold out the first week of December, but stores are still selling things until even after Christmas. Like, I've seen Christmas decorations out until the second or third week of January.
Yeah, that makes sense. People still coming on their holidays want to buy the Christmas decorations for the following year.
So people have their decorations. I guess our question is, when do you start putting out your Christmas or holiday decorations? Because do you do it? Here's the ultimate question. Do you put out your Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving?
Yes. I'm sure some people put it on Thanksgiving, which I think I have in the past, but
we will consider that after Thanksgiving.
As I've gotten older, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, so I abhor people doing Christmas before Thanksgiving because I feel like they're passing up my favorite holiday. And also, I think soon we're going to hear Christmas music on the radio, probably starting before Thanksgiving. So we're going to have to start avoiding radio stations so that A, celebrating Christmas before Thanksgiving is wrong, and B, we don't get sick of Christmas music before Christmas gets here.
And we'll talk more about Thanksgiving and what it means to us and all sorts of cool traditions and stuff in a couple of weeks. But I believe that's all we've got for this episode. If you'd like to join in on any sort of information, you can email us at didyouknowryano@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at didyouknowryano or check out the Facebook page, Did You Know with Ryan O. We've got lots of cool information out there, and you might even learn something. Who knows? Thank you very much for joining us on today's adventure.
Thanks for listening.
And for you folks out there, remember, find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O. We'll see you next time. Did you know it?